Well, I had been putting together one Sunday night a month to kind of deal with some things the Lord had put on my heart, specifically about marriage. And whether anybody in here needs that tonight or not, I don't know. All the ones that was excited about it when I started this, they're not here tonight. And ain't that the way it goes? Ain't that the way it goes? But it's all right. But it is on my heart. And you know what? It is such a need. It's the era we live in. It's just such a need. Marriage is in such a bad place, not only in the culture, but in the church. And the undergirding of that, the tearing away of that, just destabilizes everything in our society. You know, family and marriage, it just destabilizes. And if family is gone, honestly, a biblical family, the church is not far behind that. I don't really know if anybody really understands that or not. Because it's the true godly family or church family that keeps the church rolling, you know, that family strength. But I had put together some thoughts over the last month, since the last month, and actually was going to make one message out of it, but I got kind of slowed down with it because a couple things were so important. But I started looking at things as I was studying and things that I'd viewed, things that I'd seen, things that the Lord put on my heart about marriage breakers, things that break marriage, that truly are definitely marriage breakers. And the first one I want to do tonight, it was just so important. I'm just going to kind of deal with it. It won't be real lengthy, but that's the only one I really want to deal with because I feel like if I do anything else, try to do any more, I wouldn't emphasize it enough and wouldn't be fair to what even the next couple things are. So tonight I just want to deal with one. I just want to read two scriptures for you tonight. Talking about marriage breakers now. I want to read two scriptures out of Ephesians chapter 5. I want to start, and this is all you wives, take a deep breath. Go. Ephesians 5 and 22. And then after that one, we're going to go to verse 25. We're not even going to read in between. I just want to deal with these two, but I know that that should take a lot of the air out of the room right here. Yeah. The Bible says this: wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. So don't turn yet, Dusty. Just hold on. So Cindy, don't call me stubborn no more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, as unto the Lord. And now, verse 25. Now the husbands can take out all the air. Husbands, love your wives. Now listen. Not as your daddy did. Not as you seen the guy on TV. Not as that movie you like did. Huh? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Amen. Now there's no air left in the building. Let's pray. Father, we do. We thank you for your goodness and your mercies. Thank you for all you do for us. And Lord, we do want to learn. We open our heart, our mind to these things. We know these are issues, dear God, that are definitely prevailing in the hour that we live and in our culture. So teach us here tonight. Let your words speak. We open our heart, our spiritual ears. We become conformable, Lord, to your word, conformable to your spirit, dear God, tonight. So move upon us. Teach us. Allow us to have a good time. Even tonight, Lord, if this is not for us individually, dear God, let us learn of it that we can be teachers of it, dear God, that we may minister to our kids or to our grandkids or to the neighbor's kids or whoever, dear God, that's so direly going to need this in the hour that we live. Bless our time together tonight, Lord. We'll honor you. We'll praise you. You are the Lord of Lords, and you are the King of Kings, and we're just blessed to be able to serve you. And we thank you for that tonight. In the name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ, all church greens say, amen. 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 Come on, you know what to do. Give it to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We bless him. Marriage breakers. You know what? Without a doubt, I believe this tonight. I believe the number one marriage wrecker, without a doubt, is selfishness. Selfishness. I say the number one, I believe, and I have no statistics, this is just me dealing with experience, seeing things, looking beyond some things, but I believe without a doubt, the number one marriage breaker is selfishness. Now, there might be other more visible things. Somebody might say, oh, no, it was adultery. Well, the adultery was probably because of selfishness. Or it was this, or that, but if you look to the root, if you went to the root, it was probably selfishness that was at the root of it. It was down under. Like I said, there might have been something more visible that everybody will point to. Well, let's call she or he, but probably underneath most every time, it's been selfishness. We are by nature selfish, ain't we? I mean, every one of us. If you're in here tonight and you're in flesh and blood, it's just woven in our natural fabric. It is. We come from, as a toddler, this is how we was born. Me. As a toddler, you know, we insist on wanting to have our own way, wanting it to be about us. And right now we've got a toddler that pretty much gets that. And that's probably not always good because that just reinforces that idea, doesn't it? But I believe that tonight. I believe that right in our very being, that's what's woven in us. And I believe this. I believe that insisting on having our own way, and I believe that's the heart of probably most marital conflicts. I know as I deal with couples and have dealt with couples over the many years, at the heart of it, that was usually the issue of every conflict, was that thing. I believe this too. And I want to make this statement. I believe great marriages find a way. I believe this. Great. If there's a great marriage in here tonight, or if you'll go on to a great marriage, I believe it's this. I believe great marriages find a way to put away selfish wants, or find a way to put aside selfish desires, and move beyond. Now, I didn't say that they get beyond maybe that's still woven in them, but able to put it aside and move on. Beyond selfishness and begin to serve each other. It was like yesterday's ceremony. They did a foot washing at the thing like Dustin and Kayla did. And there's probably nothing no more exemplary about marriage than that. I said that because it shows a servant mentality going into marriage. It's an awesome time to do a foot washing. Is that a marriage ceremony? Because it shows a servant heart. It shows I'm going to serve you. It's an example of putting away selfishness and humbling oneself and taking on the garment of servanthood as what Christ said. It's about honestly becoming the greatest because you're becoming a servant to all. I believe that tonight. I believe there's a lot of signs in that culture that we live in about marriages that I've become to learn. That show that this is, you know, there's selfishness in a marriage. One of the biggest signs that I took note of is when there's a lack of gratitude, when there's not very much gratefulness for what one another's doing in each other's life and doing in the marriage, or what they're bringing to the. You know what? When we get selfish, we lose gratefulness, we lose gratitude, we don't see what's being done. We don't see how valuable or how much our spouse is doing for us or doing in our life or bringing to this marriage or working to make this a good life. But we begin to lose gratitude. I believe it's one of the biggest signs is when we become unthankful. Another sign of selfishness in marriage is a covetousness, a spirit of covetousness. It's a little step beyond the no gratitude, and it's I want it, and I want, and I want, and I want, and I want. And what you're doing ain't enough, and I want more. And this ain't enough, I want more. I need more. This ain't cutting it. And when that don't usually come, there's envy, or a bad spirit, or a nasty spirit that follows. What? when you don't get what you want. There's that spirit that turns into later on down the road. This is just the road of it turns into bitterness or hatefulness. Amen. Yeah. Seen it way too many times. I can pick it out. Find out about where this trip of selfishness is. But it turns into bitterness or hatefulness. Hatefulness toward one another, bitterness toward, just bitter about it, everything. And then usually it ain't too far down the road that they begin to get impatient with one another. Come on. This thing's about over. Get tired of waiting. I ain't waiting on you no more. You should have been way along by now. This should have been resolved by now. I'm getting impatient. This thing's coming to an end. And then that's usually the next step is that big combustionable irritability or anger or explosion of where it is. Some kind of finality rung to it. But it all started back at a place called selfishness. It all started way back. Way back. And though the faces change and some of the scenarios change and it may not be identical, it's still pretty much always the same thing. It's from the roots and from the heart of selfishness. Now, in this text tonight, one of the things that I like about this text and one of the things that I think would help selfishness is in this text there's a standard, really, if you will. These two verses are just an awesome standard that would help us and help couples defeat selfishness. These two verses alone. There's not no big, long, drawn-out thing. There's not no search and seek, but it's just these two verses, I believe, are a standard that would help us defeat selfishness. Now, these two verses, they bring a lot of weight, don't they? That's why I said, suck all the air out of the room. When we read it about the ladies, the wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. And then the husband, love your wife as Christ. There ain't much selfishness in those two verses. There's no room for any selfishness in those two verses. And there is a lot of weight. And I also, not only do I feel the weight, but when I read that verse, to love my wife as Christ loved the church, I feel a gap. It's not so much a weight. I feel a distance. Like, man, I've got a ways to go. And you wives, maybe you feel that about the submission part. There's a gap to this biblical standard that does defeat selfishness. I feel the weight. I feel the gap. I feel the distance. I know that I'm not exactly there, but I do. I believe this is a standard that would defeat selfishness in marriage. These two verses. I was thinking about this, even as I'd done that wedding yesterday, and I almost started preaching. I almost wanted to say this, and I almost think I probably should have. But I didn't, because I said, well, this is a wedding, Lord. But I probably should have, because this is actually even where the thought come from. And I even it was stuck in my head all evening and even into this morning when I got up. But just I want you to think about it. Just because you stand in an altar before a minister or a pastor, a preacher, and he's reading out of God's word, and the wedding's going on, and you do the vows, and you make the promises, and you've sung the songs, and you've had the prayer, and you've give the big send-off, and the big presentation, and the pronouncement's been done. But just because you get married, marriage don't magically change us. It doesn't. There's no magical change. Even though we're at an altar of God usually, or that's what it's represented, just getting married, there's no magical change. You know, I had that perception, I think, when way back years ago when me and Cindy got married. I thought, just because we was getting married, well, that's going to change me. Maybe she thought that. Dumb. Dumb thought, Cindy, dumb. And I know other people do. A lot of times we got the perception. Maybe there's some in here that's got the perception that, man, if I just got married, So most of y'all are married, but when you was going to get married, when I get married, it's going to be different. Things going to change. Maybe even thought that's what's going to make me happy. Maybe you come into marriage unhappy and you thought, man, if I could just get married. Now, I've heard that statement. But let me tell you that there's nothing magical about the ceremony. There's nothing magical in that. Now, I do know this, God can work supernaturally in that. But I'm just saying, in itself, that doesn't change us. And here's what I'm trying to say. If we were selfish standing there at that altar when we said, I do, well, honey, you're going to be selfish when you get to the car and they're throwing rice on you. Still going to be selfish, or whatever the issue is. It's not just selfishness. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. But whatever your issue was going into marriage, if you ain't dealt with it prior, took it to God prior, got supernatural divinity help from it prior, got changed prior, you're still going to have it. You're going to drag that right on into the marriage. Here's what I've learned about marriage. Marriage, when we stand up here, we don't get changed. But here's what I've learned. What really marriage is good for, it actually exposes what's in us. That we hid all them months we dated. Come on. When we wore the best cologne and brushed our teeth like we should. When we get married and we go into this full-time thing, all of a sudden, it's revealed. Daggone, your breath does stink in the morning. Rotten. It really does. I've learned that. I've learned that it actually just exposes us for who we are. Marriage exposes us. Marriage is like that. Just because we get married, it don't everything. Just like if you bought a gym, well, that don't mean you're instantaneously you've got this physique that makes everybody go, wow. Just because you bought a gym, it's the same with marriage. Just because you got married, all of a sudden, you're not someone different. As a matter of fact, who you really are starts coming plain. As a matter of fact, even plain to you. Things that you even maybe had hid from yourself or neglected or didn't pay. Because I tell you what, it took marriage for me to understand just how selfish I was. As I look back even in our early years of marriage, it was marriage that showed me, good day, you are one selfish dude. It showed me. It exposed me. It even showed me where I was at, who I was. I learned. Amen. Amen. I know when we first got married, it was everything about me. And if I could fit some of her ideas or thoughts or wants or desires in, and it didn't really ripple my world. Come on. So selfish. Well, here's the deal with that. Well, if marriage don't change it, and the key is these two high standards. How do we get to them two high standards? How does a husband love his wife like Christ loved the church? How do I get there from where I was? Or how does a wife submit herself unselfishly, sacrificially, in such a way that it even touches her husband, according to Peter? How in the world does that happen if it's not the change at marriage, when we're at the altar It's the same place where it all's got to start. And this is what would make marriages even so much healthier. You that ain't married here today, this is what would make you so much healthier. If you can have this transformation, have this change prior to marriage. If you could lose the selfishness before marriage. If you could begin to change and to transform ahead of schedule. Amen. Amen. Here's the verse. Here's what I think that kills selfishness. Here's where the change comes from. It only comes from Christ. It only comes from Christ. There is no other change. There is nothing. There is no other way. The change comes from Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's read that. The Bible says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's Christ. Now, in afterthought, in hindsight, as I look back, what began our journey, what began my journey to loving her as Christ loved the church? Christ. Christ. The change. That's what changed. That's what began to transform. It was a true relationship with Christ. It was a supernatural work of Him in my life. It's the only thing that takes care of selfishness. It's the only thing that can unweave the selfish things that's woven into our very being. It's the only thing. And it's not that we still don't struggle or have battles with that. But it's still part of the change. Or being changed into that same image. That same image. It's the only way a wife will ever be able to find this honorable submission as the Lord would have is through the Christ. A selfish person can never do that. A selfish person would never want to do that. Ever. The same as a selfish man would never want to try to love anybody like Christ loved. Ever. And gave Himself for it. But it takes this Christ-like transformation to be changed into His very image. This is what it looks like. Philippians 2. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's not selfish, is it? It's seeing others, what their needs, what their desires. That's the heart of a servant, ain't it? That's a servant. It's what do you need, or what she need, or what do they need? That's the heart of a servant. Verse 5. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the highest, he thought it not robbery, he thought it not over underneath him to be a robbery to be equal with God. And in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, being found in the fashion of a man, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's the image of Christ. That's the transformation of Christ. That's the only way that we'll ever get to the place to where we, as husbands, can love our wives as Christ loved the church unselfishly. Unselfishly. That's the only place that wives will ever get to the place that they can be submissive to the leading of their husband. It's through Christ, the change that He brings. That's it. If Christ don't change that, you can stand at the altar all you want and say, I do. I will. Sure enough. Amen. Pastor can pray the prettiest prayer. Congregation can clap. Play the prettiest songs. Throw hands full of rice. And you'll get in the car just as selfish and mean and go down one of them roads we just talked about. Ungrateful, into bitterness, into explosion, into wreckage. Because selfishness is a marriage wrecker. I said, I don't know of anything that's any more of a wrecker of a marriage than selfishness. Every time. Christ changes people. Amen. And that's the only thing that changes marriages. Amen. Change people. Change marriage. Amen. Ta-da! And that's it. That's right. Change people that Christ has changed. Yes. Changes marriages. And that is it. Every time. The Bible says this, you know this, the wages of sin, they are death. Yeah. Selfishness is sin. Always has been, always will be. It's sin. And it kills marriages. Not once, not every now and then, but every time. I know marriages right now that are being knocked out by selfishness. Selfishness at the root. And it's killing them. It's wrecking them. It's wrecking them. Men, she couldn't have hung on much longer had not Christ changed me. It would have got the best of us. I reckon she hung on so good. I don't even say that. She might have hung on. I don't see how. But Christ changed me. And in the process, still even changed her yet more, too. And our marriage changed. I believe it's that simple. I believe Christ changes people. People change their marriage. Hey, every time. Amen. Every time. Yes. I believe that tonight. Amen. Amen. So that kind of brings, where's Paul at? Paul, where are you at? Oh, he's in there for Lena. That's what he's doing. He's babysitting. Amen. Well, oh, there he comes. I know what you got. I know you're babysitting back here. Amen. Come on up here. Amen. Here's the thing as Paul's coming. We have to be willing. I want to ask married couples in here tonight. And I want you to think about this. You know, are you willing tonight to go first? Think about that a minute. Are you willing tonight to go first? Are you willing to go and be selfless in your marriage? Are you willing to go and be selfless in your marriage? That's going first. Even when your spouse or might be in a season when he or she is not returning it. Come on. When there's no reciprocation, when it's not being returned, you're being selfless and they're being selfish. That's hard, ain't it? That's why it takes Christ, ain't it? It takes Christ to live a selfless love and a selfless life. Amen. I believe it's the number one record. Now, there might not have none of y'all needed this tonight. I might have been preaching to the walls. I don't know. But I know this goes much deeper than even marriage. I know that's what the subject title was tonight. But selfishness is a whole lot bigger problem than just in marriage. Selfishness. Amen. Amen. So we'll have a time of prayer tonight. We'll seek the Lord. I pray that maybe even that God's word has touched a heart in such a way that somebody even here tonight sees it in a greater level, I pray. I pray that's what God's word does, you know. He takes us sometimes even to beyond things that we already knew, even to a deeper place. Maybe even here tonight, you understood or see selfishness in a different light even. And see it as a wrecker. A wrecker of families, a wrecker of marriage, a wrecker of relationship. You want to just ruin a good friendship. Just get selfish. Be the one that takes, and never gives. You can ruin a good friendship right quick. Don't none of us like to be used beyond. Amen. It's a selfish world. We're called to something much greater. We're called to be a servant to all. Come on. I know I feel the gap. I feel the distance. That's what we're called to do. Whether they give it back or not. Amen. You depressed me tonight, preacher. But it's the truth. Make our lives better. Make our homes better. Make our marriages better. Make our kids better. Make our neighborhoods, our communities better. Make our church better. Come on. I believe it tonight. Can you shout one time? Say amen.
Amen.
It's a Pentecostal church, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. Even if we're talking about something like that. Amen. That ought to make us happy because that makes us grow. That makes us grow. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your sweet spirit. I thank you for your teaching. Father, I know that this is your word. And I know that it's your heart. And I even myself feel the gap so much between what you require as a selfless servant and actually where I am. And I just pray tonight, dear God, that there's grace in this place as we pray. There's grace to help us fill the gap, to help us make ground upon the distance, dear God, and come to the place. You change us, dear God. You change us, we can change our marriage. You change us, we can change our community. You change us, we can change our church. You change us, we can change whatever it is that you want us to change. We are a change element. So change us, oh first God, because that's what it takes. If we're not changed, we'll not change nothing. We'll just blend right in. We'll just conform. And your word declares that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So change us, God. Change us. And if there's any selfishness in us, kill it, Lord. Take it to the cross tonight. Lord, and it's all in your great and holy name. In Jesus' name.